right, all right, all right. Good morning, everybody. Friday, and I'm happy to say I finally got like a good night's sleep. Don't know how. Maybe it's because I was exhausted at the end of yesterday, but whatever it was, I'm thrilled for it. Simpiwe says she's running late. Ben will be here at 1:30. We've got somebody called Talana joining us later on, Talana Simpson. She's got an interesting entrepreneurial story, something that'll inspire a whole bunch of us. But if you need extra inspiration this Friday, just think about the fact that you've got next Wednesday off. That's all. You need a break? Wednesday, next week. If this weekend is chock full of all kinds of exciting things, then save your rest day for Wednesday. So we got lots of things to get into today. We got lots of amazing conversations to have, and I'd like to hear from you. You can join us in the comments section. It is up and running, and I'm sorry we started a little late. We had some mic issues, but these things happen from time to time. So what I love is that it is no politics Friday, so I don't have to pay any attention to all the politicians because we've been doing rather a lot of that this week. Can do without them. I heard a very funny story about, apparently it was Posh Spice's 50th birthday party over the course of last week. Posh Spice, Victoria Beckham. Now, I was pretty sure when the Spice Girls were a thing that there was no way we would be talking about them in 2024. But here we are, we're talking about them. She managed to stay relevant. I think by marrying David Beckham, that had a lot to do with it, because who's talking about Ginger Spice or Baby Spice or what's the other one? Sporty Spice. Scary Spice. No one. No one's talking about them. I'm the first person to mention them in like 20 years. But Victoria Beckham did have her 50th birthday over the weekend. So apparently all went very well. People were talking about how great it was. I'm sure they spent a fortune. You know, she deserves a nice big party. She's, what, they've got four kids, her and David Beckham? Brooklyn, Cruz, Harper, Romeo. Sounds like I'm reading out a code for a plane, you know? That's the, excuse me, what's your call sign? Or Cruz, Romeo, Harper, Brooklyn. Sounds good. You're clear to land on the 10-4. It's ridiculous. Anyway, so Posh Spice had her birthday party, and apparently, behind the scenes, she had a complaint because apparently one of the tabloid photographers who they invited to the party, why would you invite a tabloid photographer to your birthday party? Anyway, had been a little bit of a problem because he was wearing a T-shirt, which, you know, she expected her guests to dress a little better. So I guess I wouldn't be invited to Posh Spice's birthday. But she also had a complaint about what was written on the T-shirt. So on the T-shirt in the front, it said, "Stop making stupid people famous," which I love. So I don't know who you are, tabloid photographer, but I'm a fan. So I see also there's an interesting story in the news this morning about this Indian city called Bengaluru. And companies there are offering a host of incentives, from free food to taxi rides to people who vote in the general election. So maybe this should be, I know it's no politics Friday, but maybe this should be a like clarion call to the people in power here in South Africa, the people who make the decisions. Maybe even the Independent Electoral Commission. We got, what, 27 million people registered to vote? And here's a way to get them to vote. Apparently located in Karnataka state, Bengaluru is often in the news for low voter turnout. Sounds like here. So hotels, taxi services, and other firms have announced all kinds of initiatives to encourage people to cast their ballot. It includes giving them free beer, discounted cab rides, and even free health checkups. So if you vote, you'll get some free beer, you'll get a free taxi to the polls, and someone will even give you a prostate examination. Sounds good to me. And then at some food outlets, customers can show their finger stained with indelible ink as proof of their vote, and they will give you a free meal. I suppose, you know, there are a lot of people in this country who are very much living on the poverty line, maybe below the poverty line. Maybe there are people in this country who are hungry and go to sleep hungry, wake up hungry every day. This could be a very good incentive to get them to the polls. Except I don't want it done by political parties. I think you'd understand why. Anyway, the city is voting on Friday, today, in round two of India's seven-phase election. So, again, maybe that could be part of the problem. It's like you expect them to go to the polls 7 different times, or am I getting it wrong? I don't know. That's what it says in the story. And then this is interesting, because I'm kind of disappointed too, but the NPA, the National Prosecuting Authority, shame, they say they are hugely disappointed that Marcus Uster will not get his day in court. Well, so am I. But it's funny that they use that language, like we're hugely disappointed. Disappointment is like, oh, damn, I missed that opportunity to win a free holiday. Or, oh, no, you know, I didn't get to say to this girl that I loved her before she flew to America. That's disappointment. But that someone is dead and you can't send them to jail seems like an odd reason to be disappointed. Better choice of words maybe next time, guys. Anyway, I mean, I don't blame them, because who wouldn't have liked to have seen that guy go to court? Who wouldn't have liked to have seen that guy go to jail? He did rip off millions of people, not just a couple of rich people. Marcus Uster stole from people who put their entire pension into Steinhoff. I mean, there are people who'll never recover. I remember one story that came out after the whole Steinhoff story broke, that some guy killed himself because he'd invested his life savings and everything his family had into Steinhoff shares. Now, you can argue that that's not a smart move, but you don't expect a company that's on the up and up, as they were at the time, to suddenly go toes up. Or what do they call it? Knees up. No, knees up is fun. Doesn't matter. Anyway, the point is, Anton Duplessis, who's the deputy head of prosecution, said the investigation is a complex one, and it came at great risk to the prosecutor, who worked 14 hours a day to build a solid case. However, speaking to the Cape Town Press Club on Thursday, Duplessis said Uster's death won't impact the ongoing investigation. This week, the South African Reserve Bank succeeded in seizing over 60 million Rand in assets believed to have been linked to Steinhoff fraud. Well, I hope some of those people get their money back. That's all I can say. Let's see what's happening in the comments. What do we got going on? I must just get... James, give me the logins for the comments here. I want to see what people are up to. We can get into some of that stuff. And then I also saw there was an interesting story about David Beckham, since we spoke about Posh Spice just now. He is suing Mark Wahlberg. You know, people think... the celebrities, they all just get along all the time. Well, clearly not, because David Beckham is fighting with Mark Wahlberg. He's suing him for $14 million because Wahlberg has a company called F45 Training. It's like a fitness company. And Beckham did some promotion for them, you know, back in the day. And maybe they didn't get the contracts tied up properly. And you can imagine Mark Wahlberg saying to Beckham, I'll give you like, you know, $14 million if you just promote this. And then Beckham went,
oh, it's all right. I'll just take, yeah, I'll take, like, I'll do it for you now. You pay me later.
And then obviously it didn't work out so well. Apparently the stock, the shares, started becoming valuable before Beckham had any sight of them. So he's missed out on the uptake or the upswing in those shares. So who knows? By the way, does anyone have any clarity for me on whether or not it turns out Vinnie Lingham was right about Bitcoin when I spoke to him the other day? Has Bitcoin gone up or down since the halving? I'd love to know if anybody has an answer on that one. And then also, through the course of the rest of this morning, we're going to be speaking to a couple of interesting people who I think will have some things to say that might inspire some of us to take up entrepreneurship. What kind of entrepreneurship? Well, there's this woman called Talana Simpson who's going to be joining us. She is known as the matchstick girl because she basically trades up. And she could tell you the story a little bit later on. But she starts with someone gives her a free packet of noodles. She trades that up for something else that she can, you know, just marginally say is more valuable. Then she trades that up for something else that's just marginally more valuable. And she'll explain the whole thing to you. It doesn't make much sense to me, but then I'm not a trader. I'm not a smose, so I have to figure this out. Anyway, she's eventually built up an enormous business as a result of this, and I think it would be interesting to hear what she has to say. All of that and more on the way. Shit. Don't need that sound. Okay, let me get to the comments here, see what people are up to. Tits up, that's what you're looking for. Thank you. Tracy, quite right. Not toes up, it's tits up. Where is Madam this morning? She's running late. Bitcoin will gradually go up over months and years, says Empower. It did dip a little bit after the halving, said Hermine. Okay. Don't worry about the free food. This is now to do with the Indian elections and people who were basically bribing people to go and vote. But don't worry about the free food. Bringing the prices down to 2019 levels would be a dream come true. Slippery Pickles, spot on. Jeez, stuff's expensive. I went grocery shopping yesterday. I try to avoid it. Like, I really don't buy expensive food, and I hate going to the shops. And it's really only when I've got people staying with me, like I do this coming weekend, that I bother. But I went, and I would say I filled up a trolley, which is scary, because, I mean, I know I'm not going to eat all that stuff, but at least there are two other people who are going to be staying with me this weekend. And I suddenly thought, that's probably like, you know, 1,000, 1,500 rand. Well, try three and a half. That's more like what we were looking at. So I don't necessarily know, like Julius didn't know what the price of bread or milk is, but I could tell you something. When you get to the till and you suddenly see it going past 2,000, past 3,000, you're like, what? This is not a lot of stuff. Clearly. This is a big problem. So well done, Slippery Pickle. Good point. Hanging out with Jay says, guys, I quit my job yesterday without any prospects. I'm up early with the stress, but I'm excited for the future. Oof. Dude, you know what? That could be the most exciting thing in the world. You just got to have the right attitude to it, I suppose. And I'm no motivational speaker, but I will say, if you quit your job because you hated it and it wasn't doing anything for you anymore, and now you're like set adrift, that's not the worst thing, because there's probably something better out there for you. If, however, you quit because, I don't know, you were shit, you were lazy, you didn't want to do anything, I don't necessarily think it's going to lead to like green pastures and lots of money. Ricky says, Ginger Spice, is married to Christian Horner. Okay, so I hate to sound like an idiot here, but Christian Horner? Am I meant to know who that is? Sports guy? Racing driver? Do I know anything about this guy? Yeah, I really don't. I'm sorry. In 2 days' time, tomorrow will be yesterday, so stop worrying about everything. Proper gender. Okay, thank you. That's very good. Stuff is expensive, man. When shopping, a calculator is essential, says Empower SA. Well, now I kind of understand. Okay, so all right, I got it. Christian Horner, Red Bull F1 team principal. How would I know? I don't watch this stuff. I can't lie to you. So, stuff is expensive. You know, I do see people walking through the shop and they are on their phones. And I always assume it's a shopping list, but it could just as well be a calculator, right? I'm not entirely sure about that. But yeah, I mean, it makes sense if you're going through the shop and you are worried about the prices of things and who the hell isn't, to kind of shop around, maybe see if you can get something a little cheaper. Problem is, like we were saying the other day, there's some stuff you actually can't compromise on quality. You'd rather just do without. Like if you're buying meat and fish and you look at it and it's, as Dr. Mark said yesterday, beige in color, that doesn't sound like a good thing. It doesn't look like a good thing, and it probably doesn't taste like much either. So I don't know. Absolutely, said Hanmin. I also quit my job suddenly. I'm now earning more than twice of what I did and fucking love my new job, she says. Good luck. Well, okay. You know, you've got to be brave to like head into the big, ugly world without knowing for sure that you have enough money to pay your debit orders for the next month. But that's in a year's time, 2 years time, 5 years time, will you look back and laugh? Hopefully. And when you look back and laugh, will you feel good about all the things that you've, you know, moved on to? You've got to close certain doors to open new ones. I suppose that's what's happening here. Good luck, Jay. Yo, it's tough out there, says Mapelo. It is. It's not an easy work work-seeking environment in South Africa at the moment. But I'll tell you something. I do feel, again, I can't justify this. I can't back it up with the numbers. It's just a vibe out there that things are getting busier. There's more opportunity. I'm speaking to people who are excited about the future, positive and optimistic. There are prospects just around the corner. I certainly hope that that's what's coming. And then Joking Atheist says, when I go shopping, I always grab a basket because I know I cannot afford more than that in groceries. Yo, well, you're alive, which means you're eating just enough. Work for yourself, self-employment. That's easier said than done, slippery pickle. And then OBY Sedgefield says, if I build the bakery, will they want to eat the bread? Well, it depends how good your bread is, you know? You might make shitty bread, and no one will want to buy that. And here's some useful info from Patrick. He says, Bitcoin's still in the 60 to 70K US dollar range, bumping since March the 1st when it went over 60K. It's now over 64. Okay, that's good news. Generally, I would advise buying meat or poultry directly from a butchery. Yeah, I mean, even better if you actually know how it was raised. But you can get so deep into the stuff that it makes it almost impossible for you to buy anything. And you end up, like we said yesterday, anxious about everything you put into your body, which you frankly shouldn't be, you know. You shouldn't have to be nervous about everything. I see this is also an interesting story in the news. And there's so many things going on at the moment that have to do with, you know, celebrities. But I see a couple of stories here. Donald Trump's obviously in court this week. I see that Thabo Mbeki is making a lot of news. And I know we try to avoid politics on a Friday, but this guy's like back in the celebrity stakes. Who would have guessed that Thabo Mbeki would be popular in 2024 after he left under a cloud when Jacob Zuma took over? But he's back. He was campaigning for the ANC in Soweto yesterday, and people were lining up round the block to see him. He had to have crowd control. He's a proper superstar again. And don't worry, he'll be drinking tonight to celebrate. He drinks every night to celebrate. Well, look who's here. It's Ben. Hello, nice. Ben. You like the studio?
We're going to battle to do Bok Fridays in here, though, huh?
You won't be able to do Bok Fridays. If you wear green in here, you will disappear.
This is amazing.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Wow, it feels like we're somewhere very, very different. Where's Simpiwe?
Simpiwe is running late.
Ah.
I think she overslept this morning. It happens to the best of us.
Okay.
So I'm not going to get cross with her. We've got better things to do.
And this is obviously an anti-headphone place.
You don't need headphones. What for?
So then how do you play things, like, well, clips? And
you'll see. That come up on the screen.
Wow. I feel like I've just left the house for the first time for like 4 years, and now I'm just being, you're explaining to me what studios are. This is cool.
Yeah. It's going to be very different. And I think it's exciting because it means we can actually talk again like real people without all the paraphernalia, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, look, the lights are a different kind of paraphernalia. I feel like I'm about to tell someone truths that I don't want to share.
Well, they do burrow right into your soul.
Yeah, they do. But I mean, the thing is, like you've always been a broadcaster, so you're so used to this kind of stuff. If you put this many lights in a civilian, they get very twitchy.
Well, it's like sodium pentothenate. What, truth serum?
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You lost me in the big words.
Oh, listen. I've been listening to some pretty hardcore stuff. I listened to a podcast this week. Yes. I've got to tell you about this because it actually blew my mind. It is called The Universe in Numbers.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, Universe Speaks in Numbers. I listened to an episode from 2020, and it's these two really brilliant people talking about physics. You know where you have to, you find yourself being pulled into something, and you're thinking so hard that you're burning calories.
Yeah.
You can actually feel your brain heating up, right? That was what, just listening to this. I wasn't engaged in the conversation. Just listening to it, I felt my brain going like a cloud chamber where you can see the little particles shooting off. It's pretty bizarre. Anyway, they talk about all kinds of amazing things, like, you know, the constants that make the universe. how certain numbers, just for whatever reason, certain numbers are just, you find them everywhere in nature. You find them in the constellations of stars. You find them in the arrangement of the petals on a flower. You find them in, it's just, it's mind-boggling. And I've always found mathematics to be horrible and complicated and beyond me. And I'm not good at adding and subtracting and dividing and multiplying. But I'm okay with like algebra and geometry and all that stuff. When you put me down next to a complicated equation, it's fun for me to figure it out, right? So I enjoyed that.
So I took the low road in school and I dropped maths because, you know, I was left to my own devices. So I just made dumb decisions myself between the ages of like 16 and 38. And when you think about it, maths was there for a reason, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's like what you just said now is for us to better understand where we are and what we're about.
If you think maths is too complicated for you, or you think that numbers...
It just became a hassle because you got to do extra lessons and then you couldn't...
I'll tell you how you know that maths is not beyond anyone. Music. Because music is just audible mathematics. That's all it is. It's beautiful. It can make you cry. Think about it. It can make you cry and laugh and bring back memories. And we've got this incredible ability to just tune ourselves into music. It doesn't matter how high your IQ is or how much education
it's
or
like
entertainment or information you've consumed. Yeah, yeah, it's free. It's harmonics, it's waves, but it's also numbers. It's like dun, 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 dun. There are all kinds of assignations you can give to these sounds, but they move in mathematical patterns in good music. Bad music, obviously, is just discord.
Well, like mumble rap, you wouldn't be able to associate with any mathematical equation.
Yeah. I'm not seeing mumble rap and Bach together.
No, definitely not.
You can't draw any parallels between those two. Shall we do the sport and get that done for this morning? I didn't know who Christian Horner was earlier. Am I meant to?
Yeah, he's the F1 guy.
He married to Ginger Spice.
He married Ginger Spice. He lives in a castle.
But he married Ginger Spice.
Well, I don't know how many other spices were left in the market by that stage.
But he could have done better than a spice then. Surely?
I don't know. You know,
ginger?
You know guys who have like those old Porsches or those old BMWs? It's a bit of nostalgia when you grow up, right? So maybe when he was growing up, he was like, oh, that Ginger Spice. And then he had a chance to meet her and then he married her.
What was her name?
Jerry Halliwell.
Halliwell, that's quite right.
Yeah. See, I picked this up from watching Drive to Survive.
Every time I see, in my head, every time I hear the Spice Girls, I hear, "Women of the world, spice up your life. Women of the world, spice up your life." And it's just the most terrible song.
But they were something here. And obviously back in the days, he was that guy.
He was into it. Yeah. Okay. Is he younger than her?
I don't know. Like when women get to a certain age, I have no idea how old they are. And she's got to that age. So she could be like 65 or 39. Yeah. I have no idea. But
Christian
so he's
Horner.
Like the head of...
I'll tell you by looking at them.
He's the head of Red Bull Racing.
He's 50.
He's 50.
Jerry Halliwell
she
is 51.
Must be older because Posh Spice just turned 50.
I'll tell you what, she doesn't look too bad.
No, she doesn't look too bad.
She's all right.
Well, you know, there's a saying in life, you're not rich. Sorry, you're not poor, you're ugly.
No,
you're not ugly, you're poor.
Yeah, we've been down this road.
Yeah, and you got money, you can keep it together.
That's right. Okay, so let's take a look at...
Why did you need to know who he was?
So he came up, someone said in the comments, because I was like, well, Posh Spice had her birthday over the weekend, last weekend, and she turned 50.
Were all the Spices the same age?
I think
so. They're aligned. They're aligned in the Spices.
That's why they were able to produce horrible music together. Okay, so let's get into Beyond the Scoreboard with Ben Karpinski. Of course, this is brought to you by Superbets this morning. And who knows, if you listen carefully to what Ben's about to tell you, you might have something worth putting some money on over the weekend, have some skin in the game, and suddenly sport becomes even more exciting. So that you, when your idiot spouse or, you know, some child or someone who thinks they know more than you about a certain sport starts raving about something, you can say, oh, well, I put $100 on that. Why don't you put some money where your big mouth is? You can shut them up usually. Where do we start?
Well, we're going to start with last weekend and how terrible the Bulls and the Stormers were.
Oh.
So there's four rounds left in the URC. It's so frustrating because I was so confident, like, these guys are going to do this. This is the multiplier to go for. But the Bulls were they just never got going. They just didn't. And then they got a red card for one of those sort of like contentious head clash things. And so Munster's credit, they were good. Okay, so Munster are a good side. They were always going to come back in the second half of this thing, the Irish guys. So with four rounds left, the Bulls could have got to the top two. They lost. The Stormers could have cemented themselves in the top four. They lost to a Welsh team, the Ospreys.
What's going on here?
I don't know, Gareth. I don't know. Maybe everyone was so fixated on watching Chasing the Sun and the story of SA Rugby, we forgot to actually be players. But the Lions, on the other hand, wow, they absolutely trousered Leinster. So look, this isn't a review show. It's more about bringing context to this weekend, because all three teams are going to be in action again this weekend. Just as a recap, right now, Leinster are on top of the log with 54 points. So they're the big Irish team. They're still alive in the Champions Cup, which is obviously like the Champions League equivalent of rugby. Then we've got Glasgow, who are hanging on there at 53 points. Then Munster, 48, Bulls, 46. So your top four looks pretty set. Because below this, we've got Benetton, we've got Stormers, Ospreys, and Edinburgh. Lions are actually still in this thing too, with a mathematical chance. They're currently on tied 8th, 39 points.
All right.
So that's to give you context of the log right now. So Ulster will take on Benetton tonight. Scarlets versus the Sharks. So the Sharks aren't in the mix here. But basically, they're sending youngsters out there who did bloody well last week, and they're going to keep playing. I mean, the Sharks are waiting for their sort of semi-final, which is coming up in that Challenge Cup thing, whatever it is. And then Saturday, we've got Zebra versus the Glasgow Warriors at 2. The Bulls will be taking on the Ospreys at 3. So this is a huge game for them, because they have to get points here. They have to get bonus points here, because obviously the higher up you finish, the better your chance of a home semi. That's what everybody wants. Cardiff will take on Edinburgh after that at 4. Lions will have a game against Munster at 5. Now, obviously, that's very late in the day for anything in Hillbrow, so there's that dynamic. Plus, Munster have been here now for like a little while, okay? So what, 10 days? They've got a nice big touring group of fans who spent the week in the Kruger Park, and now they come back to Ellis Park. So, I mean, they're going from danger to violence. It really is quite the trip you can get out here. Think about it. You've seen nature at its finest, and now you're going into Ponty. Wow. I mean, South Africa just gives, huh? It just gives.
We are a very giving nation.
Yeah. Speaking of Leinster, Stormers are taking them on at 7 o'clock on Saturday. So, I mean, have the Stormers sort of peaked? You know, it's hard to say what's really going on with that team, because they show such an amazing trajectory with, like, John Dobson's youngsters who had for years and years. They then won the URC on the first attempt, and now they're sort of plateaued a little bit. People are questioning Marnie Libbock's form, which is maybe a bone of contention in that. Whatever it may be, the Stormers are still a good side. So that's going to be a great game. How strong Leinster team is going to be, I'm not entirely sure. So we've got more of a mixed bag this weekend result-wise. But Dragons versus the Connaught at 9. So you know what? The last 2 weeks, I've been so confident to say, back these guys, this is your multiplier. I reckon the bet this weekend is to back the Bulls by, I say, winning by 20 and up.
Really?
It's going to be a backlash.
You think they've got to come back and prove
something?
They've
got to come back. These Osprey guys, it's still going to be a warmish day tomorrow. They were so at a huge result last week against the Stormers. I reckon the big bet this weekend is Bulls by plenty. Well, not like plenty. All right. I'm not being insulting to the Ospreys. They are the best team in Wales.
But that's like saying you're the smartest kid at the mongoloid school.
The less creepiest uncle, yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what it comes down to.
Good.
So that's the rugby for the weekend. Football. Well, okay, let's just start with the CAF Champions League, because Sundowns are in the mix here. They lost to Esperance Tunis last week, 1-0. This Champions League, anything when you play on the continent in Africa is always weird, because you never know what you're going to get away from home. You could get really dodgy fans, horrible facilities, a
malaria.
Bus doesn't turn up, malaria.
AIDS.
Lots. So much on the table here. But Sundowns are back. They're back at Loftus. They know what's happening there. So 8 o'clock tonight, what a game that's going to be. So they've never lost both games in the tournament when it comes to a knockout stage like this. So that's a good omen for them. And they, of course, have got to the finals twice. So if they do this, they could be three times. Tunis, on the other end, well, they're quite stubborn towards goals. They haven't conceded a goal in this competition for the last 7 games.
Huh.
That's quite something. So they're going to be technically sound on the defense, but I would definitely back Sundowns to find a way here. They are a good team. They've got a good squad. They've got the best team in South Africa and probably in Africa. Yeah, again, I want to say go for it. But again, it's up to you. Because
not every time. You've been pretty good.
No, it's
so
just
far.
That when I try to extend myself
nobody,
to football.
Nobody should trust anybody all the time. But Ben pretty much gets
it
right.
But whenever I try to extend myself in football, I show myself up. So I'm just going to leave that on the table for you there to say that Sundowns have never lost twice in the knockouts like this. Right. They're going to bounce back, but Tunis is tough as nails at the back. I think that's the big take out there.
Okay.
The Premier League has got so interesting all of a sudden.
I mean, really?
We all knew it was going to be like this 2-3 horse race kind of thing. But with the top three, as we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, all crashing out of Europe, the major focus is that now. I mean, obviously, Man City have the FA Cup where they'll take on Man United. That's coming up in May. But this week, they had a whole bunch of games to sort of catch up from the sort of low time of playing other tournaments. Arsenal beat Chelsea 5-0. Liverpool then lost to Everton 2-0. And last night, Man City beat Brighton 4-0. So it's gone back to kind of being a two-horse race now. Man City have a game in hand over Arsenal. But Arsenal just have this ability to score so many goals. Their goal difference is like 15 better than anybody else. So for the weekend, we've got West Ham versus Liverpool. If Liverpool don't get 3 points here, they're completely out. That'll be at 1:30 on Saturday. Aston Villa, who beat Arsenal recently and have been a bloody good side this year, they'll take on Chelsea 9 o'clock on Saturday. And then Sunday's massive game. It is Spurs versus Arsenal. Amongst all of this drama, we have a London derby to look forward to, which is really amazing. Arsenal away, and it's at 3 o'clock. In the crickets, gotta be honest.
I just want to make you laugh. The closest I get to any kind of watching any sort of soccer is when I was sitting at the hairdresser. I went for a haircut on Wednesday morning, and it was on in the background, and they had an interview with Arsene Wenger.
All right.
I've never seen an interview with him before. I didn't think he gave interviews.
He's like an octogenarian Mr. Bean.
Yeah. But I mean, clearly he's still going strong.
Well, yeah.
Amazing guy.
Well, he's...
he's like an institution.
He's older than Ginger Spice, I can tell you that much.
They didn't have sound because it was just on while I was having my hair cut, but it was there, and I was like, I think that's Arsene Wenger. And it was. I got it right. I couldn't identify Christian Horner in the lineup, but there we go.
Well done, Gareth.
I'm very proud of myself. It was a Chelsea and Arsenal game.
So that was, yeah, the one that they won 5-0. Yeah.
See? So, I can pay attention some of the time. I don't know what the score was, but there we go.
So cricket, let's give the IPL a skip this week because I'm literally just going to be using words with no feeling.
Oh.
I mean,
oh.
It's the IPL. I mean, what
hello, Simpiwe.
Hello.
Hey, Simpiwe.
Simpiwe woke up late on the East Rand.
Happens. Maybe she was watching too much IPL yesterday. No, she wasn't, because it's quite boring, actually. I don't want to go off on a tangent here because I'm just trying to give you like the highlights. But the IPL,
how boring?
I feel it's got quite boring. There's just too much color, and cricket is about the big matchups. And the whole thing about the IPL is you're going to have the best teams and mm-hmm. best players in the world taking mm-hmm. on each other all the time. But it's like if you have your best meal every single day of your life, it's no longer your best meal, right? So when you got all these guys who are like star-studded players playing against each other every day yeah. almost, it's like,
it's too much of a good thing. It's like when we there was so much rugby on it at a certain stage in South Africa that nobody went to any of the matches because it was just like, oh,
well, I mean,
we'll
like,
go next week.
When Super Rugby got 73 teams in it, no one cared.
Right.
Yeah. Super 12 after that died. Anyway, so let's give IPL a skip this week. I'm sure there's lots of games in the go, but it's still early in the tournament too, so let's not get too excited about that. There's an interesting thing happening with golf this weekend. Obviously, Scottie Scheffler won last week, and the stats around this guy and how amazing he is are making golf interesting, like super interesting again. He's not playing this week. He's actually given everyone else a chance, and it is the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. Now, this is a cool tournament because it's played in pairs. So what you'll find is that guys who will play with their mates rather than say like, okay, you're really great, I'm really great, let's try win this. So there's a lot more banter and it's a lot more interesting to watch. And you'll get like absolute nobody's also doing pretty well. I mean, look at this leaderboard currently on 11 under. Brem and Hubbard, no idea. Coles and Keziah, slightly more known. Ryan Lipsky. Now, McIlroy and Lowry, they are actually up there. So they're the big name to watch for this weekend. Interesting enough, if you get any sort of microphones around them, the two of them become far more Irish amongst each other. So it'll be absolutely inaudible what they're saying.
Oh, God.
But interesting though, because McIlroy is up and down and everyone's like, yeah, bro, you got so much talent and you just never know how to use it. So maybe a weekend with Shane Lowry will be a really good thing for him and he can come back and be really strong for the majors. Golf takes a bit of a dip now for a few weeks and then we get the PGA Championships. But the last thing I want to chat about this weekend is the MotoGP. It's one of the best of them of the year. It's a Spanish MotoGP. Mm-hmm. So Jorge Martin, if you want to get really into the Spanish. He is the man to beat. Brad Binder had a great race there last year. So, you know, he's obviously someone to look out for. But MotoGP is kind of cool. There's obviously no Formula One this week. It'll come back in Miami. But MotoGP, if you ever get tired of Formula One, just like I got tired of cricket and IPL, watch the MotoGP. Quick overtakes, lots of cut and thrust action, and it's basically guys on bikes. So Simpiwe will be like home.
You'll like that, Simpiwe, okay. Huh? Yeah. Like,
are they good looking?
Back at home. Well, they're wearing helmets, so you can make up your own mind, really. I mean, use your own imagination.
You can just imagine.
You can just say, wow, all seven guys in the front here are all amazing looking.
Wearing a visor, you can't see under that.
And then as soon as they're finished, turn it off, because that's what take the helmets off, and then the whole dream is
fantasy shattered.
Okay. So that's pretty much it for the sport. It's not the best sporting weekend, but back the Bulls to do something really special, I think. And you know what? Back Sundowns for tonight.
Well, Traveling Ninja Turtle says, I love Simpiwe pretending she's listening and actually interested in the sport.
Me too.
She sometimes is, especially if she has some money riding on something.
Yeah. I've been following Chelsea and Arsenal.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah,
there we go.
And you didn't back Chelsea?
No, I didn't back Liverpool.
You just picked up the last thing you heard, basically. That piece of information.
All right. Well, Superbet supports responsible gambling, not irresponsible betting like Simpiwe does. Strictly no under 18s. Winners know when to stop. The South African Responsible Gambling Foundation toll-free counseling hotline is 0800-006-008. Now you know. Okay, so we got a bunch of stuff to get to this morning. I started solo because Simpiwe and Ben only came in halfway through this hour. But here we are.
That's the time I come in.
That's the time you come.
Make out like I was late.
That's the time you come.
Okay, let's not make this about me right now, okay? Like, let's not
I've
put
got
focus
a video.
I've
got a video for Simpiwe. This is something that was trending all over social media yesterday. Take a look at this, Simpiwe.
Okay.
All right. This woman says...
I love her. I know her.
You know her?
Yeah. Okay, well, not personally, but...
Okay, well, in the clip, she says, please pray for the people of Benoni. Nothing's happened. They're just in Benoni.
Well, that in itself is happening.
So, you know her?
Well, I've seen her content. She has this very dry humor, and she does these things. And
she lives on the same street as you. Stop lying.
Okay, shut up. I know her. Like, she's actually my neighbor.
There we go. All right. So everyone in the East Rand does know everyone in the East Rand. Jeez, no wonder there's so many kids who are not sure whether it's the mom, the dad, the uncle, or the aunt.
I mean, it's called the Holy Trinity for a reason, Gareth. So,
tell me how that works. Benoni Boxburg Brack Band.
Yes, and we all are very much linked.
The Holy Trinity. Which one of those is the best and which one is the worst?
Boxburg, what do you mean?
Boxburg's the best.
Yes.
Really?
I don't want to be associated with Brakpan, number one.
I was going to go Brakpan.
What's going on there? That's number one. And then Benoni has nothing going on for it. It has nothing to claim, you know?
What are you talking about? They've got a princess. Well, you have a fucking princess in Boxburg. Benoni produced Princess Charlene.
That's one thing.
Charlize Theron.
I'm not very impressed.
Come on, they've done very well. I'm sorry, you're wrong.
No, all I'm saying.
If you had to rank it, it's Benoni.
Oh no,
Boxburg Brack Band.
Oh no.
So from an outsider's perspective, Simpiwe, Benoni,
looks like
a higher demographic because they have golf courses.
So does Boxburg,
and they're not on the highway so much. Like they have a bit of leeway
on the highway
from the highway. But again, this is the outsider perspective. You can teach us.
I'm all just right, letting you know that Boxburg is the girl that it thinks it is.
It wouldn't be a Friday if we didn't give Simpiwe and the East Rand some shit. So.
But also, Boxburg. How ambitious were you if that was the name you were going to bestow upon a place?
That's true.
Boxburg.
I mean, it's literally like...
We're not going to fight, but don't try me.
Boxburg.
You know, it's like there was something in that book, The Tipping Point, by that communist Malcolm Gladwell. He said that if you give a name to someone, they'll live up to the reputation of it.
It's called nominative determinism.
Well, there we go. So maybe that's why they fight more in Boxburg.
Well.
Don't try me, okay?
Case in point.
She wants to fight Simpiwe.
Simpiwe. And she was fighting with her duvet this morning. Oh, man. All right, what's wrong with Benoni? The place is lekker, my bro, says just plain Jared. Well, obviously.
Yeah, Jared, we're singing Benoni's praises here.
We're giving it the best compliment we can.
I wouldn't do that.
All right, I do want to get to this because this has been a story all of this week, and I noticed lots of people who I know on social media going crazy for the hot cop thing. Now, you found this.
Not from Boxburg.
Not from Boxburg, no.
Just tear that up straight away.
But there is a South African policeman who's getting a lot of attention. I saw Brent Lindekew posted a story about him. This is him.
Ooh, isn't he yummy?
That's a stripper, guys. Come on.
No, he's not an actual cop.
Is it a real cop or is it a stripper cop?
That's
a stripper.
That is an actual cop. He's based in East London.
Doing
ladies,
what?
Like, and there is a petition now to get him to move to Joburg.
To move to Joburg.
I mean, I wouldn't mind if he like had to stop me and ask, you Firstly, know, if my disc is in order.
Show me in East London where you find a premium toilet.
Show
like
me,
that.
Oh officer, let me prove to you my disc is in order.
I wouldn't mind having a bottle of Coke or something in my car just to bump into him. You know what?
What, so you could bribe him?
Maybe take him home. But all, right. All I'm saying is we always like give cops this like hard time because they're so unfit, they're so unhealthy. He is the perfect example of how cops should look like. Just mean,
stomach,
you know,
in, chest out.
You know, you can see he has a six pack going on for him. Like, I know if they had to steal my purse and
he would be able to run them down.
Them and I'd be like, oh, thank you.
It's really only because he's good looking. He could be built like, you know, a bodybuilder, but Simpiwe wouldn't be interested. It's because he's good looking. That's why you're interested. Tell the truth.
Hey, man, the whole of South Art thinks like me. He must
No,
come
everybody
to Joburg,
agrees with you.
Please.
Clearly, it was trending all on social media this week. And I saw a lot of girls saying, I'm just going to feign that I had something stolen just so he'll come to my house. And,
you know.
And then they obviously got the fat cops that came because this guy was busy doing something else. And they were like, oh, no, I'll just have to report it again tomorrow. And they kept reporting stuff that wasn't happening. Madness.
I would love to know what that guy's story is.
Yeah, I think it would be very interesting.
Okay. I mean, it just I don't want to put the rants and sense on something and ruin the story, but why would that guy... Like, there's no real future to be a cop in this country, right?
No, it's pretty much a dead-end job.
I'm not saying because he's good-looking, he's a superior person. It's just that I'm sure he has other opportunities outside than just being a cop.
Well...
I'm judging a book by a cover here. Maybe that's his calling.
Maybe it's what he wants to do.
But East London?
East London.
No, come to Joburg.
East London is full of mysteries.
There's too much crime in Johannesburg. Way too much. Especially in the East Rand.
Dangerous. Now she's playing it down.
You let the truth play itself out.
All right. Very good. Okay, well, Simpiwe, you've helped us to bring it up here on the show this morning. And then you came across a new team called FOPO.
So this term, Gareth, I think you'd absolutely hate.
You've introduced us to a lot of new terms lately, so just take baby steps here. I'm still getting over what Mash told us about frogging, where people live in your roof. But okay.
Okay.
FOPO.
Cool. It is the fear of people's opinions.
Oh, for God's sake. Is this a category of people now?
Yeah, it is. And they basically are scared to hear what other people have to say, and they're scared to hear what other people think about various topics. So they kind of now move away from hearing what you'd
say. I'm just going to save you a bunch of time. If you are one of those people who suffers from FOPO, you have a fear of other people's opinions, just run into the sea and don't stop running until you can't breathe anymore.
In East London. Go to East London and do it.
We don't have time. We don't have time to be looking after people who have FOPO. This is a made-up thing, and you have to deal with other people's opinions. It's unfortunately going to be a reality of your life. You're not going to agree with most of them. Some of them are going to say things you don't like. Some of them will be helpful to you. They'll give you good advice along the way. And even though you don't agree with them, it'll be the kind of life lesson you need to learn. Yeah. But then there'll be those who you don't agree with and who are wrong. The best thing about them is you can ignore them and carry on with your life. So where's the problem?
I agree.
Oh, okay. Also, I was just showing you.
We don't need names. Well, no. we don't need names for everything.
FOPO.
Just call people losers or something like that.
Yeah, there's already a category for that.
Yeah.
All right, very, very good. So Ben wanted to bring up something which I have always had an unbelievable admiration. So we go from the ridiculous FOPO to the sublime, which is people who were on the Titanic when it sank and did chivalrous and gentlemanly things. And really, women and children first was a big thing then. There was no question among all those men that the women and children were going to be put on the lifeboats first. That's why the death toll, if you look at the numbers, I think 90% of the deaths were men.
Yeah.
And 90% of the people who survived were women.
Well, about 20% of men in first class survived.
Only 20%.
So that's nothing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, when you think Titanic, I mean, obviously that was...
In these days, rich people would put themselves on the first lifeboat.
Well, sure, there would be much better provisions around there. Like, when you think Titanic, you obviously think of Leonardo DiCaprio, Kate Winslet's boobs, and that thing at the end where she was on the door and he died.
Mm-hmm.
But there was so much more to the story. I was listening to this really great podcast series around it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And I was amazed by how different life was back then, how chivalry was just...
It was part of life.
But it was fatal as well.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The whole thing about the Titanic sinking was that the boat actually wasn't very full. Because back in those days, you kind of got on boats like that to immigrate. You didn't really go, well, this summer we're going to cross the Atlantic. Like, you didn't really go on holiday like that.
Mm.
But the boat wasn't really that full. And then when it came to putting the lifeboats into the water, the guys in charge of it were all like women and children first, but to the point where they would let these boats go down with like half empty boats.
Yeah. In other words, they could have saved a lot more people.
So husband and wives were coming to the verge of the boat, and then the guy would be like, women and children first, and be like, but there's space. And it's like, women and children first.
Yeah.
Sure.
So they would literally lower the boats while people were still trying to get in.
Guys just took it. They were like, okay, that sounds fine. I'm going to go back here and I'm going to smoke a cigar or something. But they were going to die.
Mm.
And it was amazing to see how okay they were with this. And there wasn't that sort of panic. And the thing is, like, they didn't want to put men into the boats because they thought that maybe it would create a panic. Be like, okay, well, that guy's in there. I'm jumping in. But these people were so well behaved.
Yeah.
The first class people were like that.
There were hardly any fights. There was no pulling of guns. No. There was none of that stuff.
The second and third class people were even more obedient.
Yeah.
And they even did less.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a heartbreaking story of one couple, and the woman said, listen, I'm not going unless my husband can go. And the officer in charge of loading that lifeboat said, well, then I'm terribly sorry. Then you're both going to die. And the husband turned to her and he said, listen, I want you to survive. If I live, I'll see you. If I don't, we've had a great life together, but I'm not going to let you die. And she got into the boat and she made it and he didn't.
So another story was, same situation. These people were together from, I don't know, however legally it was, you could actually be with someone in life. And they're now old, like older than Ginger Spice.
Mm.
And she's like, okay, well, if you can't go, then I'll just stay with you. And in the movie, there's like a thing about them in the bed dying together.
Yeah.
Okay, that was obviously made up for movies, but that was the thing. It's like, well, we've lived together, now we're going to die together.
Right.
But what struck me about all of this is why I'm going with this is that people seemed far less worried about dying a long time ago, because a few years after that was the First World War, and everyone was like, cool, I'll go to this front line of whatever about something or something. And people were just okay to die because it was the honorable thing to do.
Right. Now people sniff COVID 100 kilometers away and they're like, oh, we've got to do everything we can not to get sick in case we die.
But you'll stand for, like, so their whole thing was, is that, and afterwards in the British press, they made it into such a, like, a triumph that how chivalrous the men were.
Yeah.
And that
proud of it.
You wouldn't find other nationalities and people being like this, like such gentlemen, making sure the women and children got off first. But it was such a spectacle that these boats were half empty.
Yeah.
And then guys were just killed for no reason, basically.
Yeah. Famously the band who, you know, played to the very end until their instruments were washed into the sea.
I wonder what was going on in their minds. Like,
but again, it's the water's
coming.
They were so okay with dying that they were just chilling on while the water was coming up from their nostrils. And I think it's such a weird thing. Like, this makes history so interesting that's how people actually were okay to be. You know, there was a kid, like back in those days, when you got to a certain age, or it was 12 or 13, whatever, they would give you trousers to now show that you're a man.
Long pants.
So the long pants of this one kid killed him because he couldn't get onto the boat. He was no longer a child. He was now in trouser class, and therefore he had to be a gentleman and suck it up and die.
But he was proud to be a man.
But this is the thing, so, he was also okay with it.
Yeah, so he was proud of turning 16 and wearing long pants and being a man. And even though he was a man for like a day or two, he got to do something that only men got to do. And that was to help the women and children.
And that was it.
And to sacrifice himself. I mean, you don't get that much these days. You really don't.
So this one dude, he was like I think the term fuckboy was the term, maybe not then, but now. So he was.
Wait, let's go back. What?
He was this guy. It was this young oak. He was this younger boy traveling with this guy for clearly means of the physical.
Oh, okay.
So he all got right onto this boat.
Oh, so he was like a rent boy then.
Young man.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Young man rent boy got onto this boat, right? Okay. And the woman hit him. And then I don't know if he coughed or someone just pointed him out. And then the guy saying women and children first saw him, pulled his gun on him and said, get off. And he's like, no, I have to live. I have to stay. And then eventually he realized, he put his gun back and said, just be a man. Ooh. And that term, just be a man, was like, oh, shit, you got me now.
And he had to get out.
Threatened him with death and a bullet, but like, oh, damn it, he used the man card.
And he had to get out.
He got out and he died.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, you try that now. Just be a man. But I don't want to.
If you're going to try trans. It now, everyone would just assume a gender for their own benefit.
I identify as a woman.
I listened to this podcast and I thought it was so removed to who we are as humans nowadays, and the fact that people were just cool with dying.
Okay, but question for both you and Gareth, right?
Would we be those people?
Yes. Fast forward to 2024 and you in the Titanic and, you know, would you be a chivalrous?
So this is why I wanted to bring this up, because it's the impossible question, right? It's nice to be able to sit here and go, yes, I would be. Women and children first.
But no, deep down, you know.
Because I am conditioned to the now where I don't want to die, because life is clearly so much better than the early 1900s. Mm. Back then, you'd be like, okay, well, I'm going to marry the first person I see. Food's terrible.
Right.
Everyone's dirty, basically.
You're probably only going to get to like 50. You're going to get to 50. Some disease is going to take you out.
Whereas now, life is like this. So if someone says women and children first, you'd be like, okay, how about this? You'll make a plan. Because we'll all do it, because we're like...
I dress up and go, I'm not a man, I'm a lady. I'm wearing ladies' clothes and I deserve to be on the ladies' boat.
This is the thing. I mean, obviously, like, cruise ships now have lifeboats and they've worked it out. Maybe don't go around like the icebergs and stuff.
Yeah.
But if you were to have a Titanic right now, that would be pandemonium.
I'll tell you what. I think that there are guys who, and you see it when... You know, war breaks out or whatever else happens that's really tough on people, and they have to get their priorities right. And you suddenly see, like, some people, I hate to use the term because it's like old fashioned, but they man up. They suddenly make themselves the last line of defense. They do what they can for the women and children that they love. And I hope I would be that kind of guy.
Yeah, sure. And so,
I hope so.
But like, that was just poor planning, right? Everyone could have got in those boats, basically.
Yeah, not everyone. There still would have.
Okay, there would still been a surplus of around 1,000 people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that could be managed better. If, like, the barbarians are coming over the hill, that's a different story. Then you man up.
Barbarians.
No, like, if there's imminent danger, like, and it's time to fight, then you man up. I mean, that's an easy one for men. It's yes, I will now go against them. But if it's getting into a boat, and that's what I think where it's quite hard.
Well, a lot of people still say it's ridiculous that Kate Winslet didn't let Leo DiCaprio onto that door. It was big enough for both of them.
Yes, and they've proven it to us. I'm so mad. Like, the science actually proved.
Yeah, they did it on Mythbusters.
Guys, he was over her.
He was over her.
I mean, it was like a cool 4 days, and he was like, again, guys weren't scared to die back then, right? If he had lived, he would have had to, like, listen to her. He would have to paint her again. It wouldn't have worked.
Slippery Pickle says, I always thought the Titanic was just a big insurance scam. And Carl says, I don't mean to be a dick, but how is someone like Jacob Zuma still alive? It makes me question my faith.
Oh, wow.
Judas says, imagine a Titanic movie in 2024, people identifying as all types of things, men as women, adults identifying as children. Be very odd.
Yeah, but don't you also think women would be like problematic in this situation? Because you do have feminists and then you have like traditional woman who'd be like, I should go first and you should be the man. And then there'd be like some woman like,
no one's a feminist in moments like that.
It's true, actually. That drops
the feminists
away.
Melt away. It's like during war when it comes to like drafting, you know, okay, so we need the women to go and work in the factories now or even go and work in the military. Suddenly they're like, I'm not a feminist. No, I've got to look after my children and make sandwiches. Suddenly all disappears. It's amazing how like your priorities come back into line in a moment like that. But it is. It's a different era, and it wasn't that long ago. It's like 100 years, you know? Not that long ago. How much has changed?
It's one of those things that you can debate forever, but we are just so different as humans now. It's just so incredibly different.
Mm-hmm. And the sinking of the Titanic, Stompy says, ensured a lot of the world's richest millionaires went down with the ship. That's true.
Millionaires are stupid.
Well, in this case, a lot of them were also very gentlemanly. Like, some of these people were extremely wealthy and probably could have demanded, you know, because they were, like I said, I'll give to, they could have bribed somebody. It didn't even enter anyone's mind.
So from all the reports of the people who survived, no one ever used the money thing. No one said, no, here, young chap, I am so-and-so.
Yeah.
No one did that. No. Not one person.
There was no, like, do you know who I am?
So one guy who was quite successful got onto a boat, okay, and he spent the rest of his life in absolute shame.
Yeah, he eventually died in just misery.
His name was Islay or something. I forget that.
Ismay. Bruce Ismay.
Yeah.
And he was the, they were the owner of the ship, the line of ships that owned the Titanic. And he made it onto one of the lifeboats. And he just spent his entire life just overcome with survivor's guilt and regret.
So that was it.
He often would say to people, it's just not worth being alive. And it wasn't. It wasn't like he ever had any fun for a day in his life after that. He lived in absolute misery and seclusion. And he couldn't face people because they all looked at him as a coward.
Yeah.
How could you have survived when all those other people didn't? You must be a terrible person. I wonder if we would judge someone like that today.
Of course.
You think so?
Yes.
I don't know.
It'd be made to sound like a hero for some people.
No.
Because like everything, like back then it was black and white, right? Women and children first, I'll sit back here. Now everyone's got a story or an angle.
Yeah, it's like, but I suffered trauma as a child and, you know, I'm anxious and depressed and I'm on medication and I have to make it onto the boat before everyone else. And yeah, there's a victim hierarchy.
But if we go back to what you guys said, like, in moments of like life and death, people will drop the whole like I identify as feminist and whatever.
For
right?
some people, that's all they have.
Yes,
that's all they have.
But even if like one person, so if you Ben were like, oh, I identify as a woman right now and I need to survive, right? Society would still have that thing of like, actually, in that moment, you were wrong. It doesn't matter what you have to say. It doesn't matter what you had to do. You were wrong in that moment because an actual woman didn't survive, or a woman who was pregnant.
I think it would really eat me up if I did somehow make it onto a boat.
You know,
I think I'd be very unhappy about my life, the way it had turned out.
Okay, so now here's another left field curveball. I'm going to be a dick and say it: the most capable people on the earth went down with that ship. The really valuable people who created jobs, led industries, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So. Can we go back to the women and children thing? I get right,
mm-hmm.
like that's sort of,
civilization.
That's
only
a man's conditioning to provide and protect. But also, what a tragedy to lose so many great men who would have taken life forward as well.
And the same goes for the First World War.
Well, that was the next point.
So many fine,
good,
decent, brave men. And you've got to ask yourself, who was left to procreate after those men had gone?
Not the good ones.
Not the good ones. So you have to ask, who are the ancestors of those who sit before you now? Were they the winners? The brave ones who went out to battle and didn't make it because they were mortared or gassed or blown up? No. You know, the ones who survived. And obviously some of the brave people survived, but it was mostly luck.
I often think that with the Boer War, like how many amazing, great, strong leadership kind of people got decimated there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next oaks?
Yeah. Not so good.
Not so much.
Not so good.
But if the great guys were so great, they would have made sure all the stupid people were right in front and boom, shaka, boom.
Yeah, but you can't do so much of the Operation Human Shield. It's only
I'm
so
just
much.
Saying, like, you know, you always make sure that the weak ones are in front so that your best men are at the back to hold down the line. If I'm right with war tactic. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the idiots would have also died first.
Listen, we got to take a break. It's past 7 o'clock. We'll be back in just a moment or two. We did start late this morning, so we can take the break now. We'll be back in just a second.